This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values with your hosts, the Cotellis. I am Marco.
And I'm Tony.
Well, good morning to you.
Happy Wednesday, husband.
How's it going?
It's going kind of amazing. Ask me why.
Why is it amazing?
Because I had an incredible birthday weekend.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, it sure is.
Tell me all about it.
Well, so let me tell you first about the best birthday I ever had prior to this one.
Okay.
So my entire life, I've been super blessed in that my birthday was always either an early release day from school or a teacher work day. So I've kind of become accustomed to being spoiled on my birthday. And so when I turned 10, my mother got a ton of my friends and I. It was an early release day. She packed us all in her van and she made us all lay on the floor when we got two blocks from our house. And when we pulled in the driveway, everyone was allowed to sit up except me, but they weren't allowed to say what they saw. So all I heard was their screaming and their joy, and it was fantastic. And eventually, I was able to see what was going on, and my mother had rented a bouncy house.
Oh,
which...
see, that's not what I was expecting. I thought, like, you guys were being, like, held at gunpoint. Or something like that. Like,
why do you go to a dark place? It's my happiest birthday. I don't know. Anyway, so she got a bouncy house. It was the coolest thing ever. It was, like, carnival food, and it was just amazing. And we got to bounce around, and I wish I still had the video of me jumping around solo in the bouncy house while people were singing happy birthday, because it's still one of my greatest memories. And this weekend topped that.
Oh.
It did. This was my favorite birthday. So I have a couple of traditions that I really like. I love going to the movies for my birthday. I love anything related to video games. I love supporting local business. And I love eating food. And so my darling husband came up with a plan to combine everything. So Friday we didn't work, which was enough by itself. I would have been happy with that. We went to the matinee, so we saved money, which I also love. But we went to the matinee showing of A Wrinkle in Time, which I do not understand why the reviews are what they are. That movie was incredible.
It was really good.
And we won't tell our listeners how many times you cried. It was two. But we saw the movie. Nope. But we saw the movie in the most incredible, upscale, very adult home-like theater. So it's like that fancy theater with the reclining seats, but there's also food, and it's like really good popcorn, and they have a full bar. But this one had pods, and the pods were like being super comfy in your living room. So it was a pod, so you didn't see anyone else. You were like many feet away from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
There were pillows and blankets, and then there was a button for service and a little table. So we may have had mimosas.
A few, yes.
A couple. And we had this amazing fried chicken and these French fries, which were to die for, which came with this, what was it, honey maple bacon dip and a chipotle sriracha dip. No,
it was a sriracha ranch.
Yeah. It was amazing. And so we saw the movie and it was fantastic.
Well, and just for the records, because of the theater and how fancy the theater was, the matinee was not a factor. The price was still the price. So that was a thing.
Okay, so my love of saving money was just crushed to death.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit of reality for you right there.
Regardless. So then we went and I had a wonderful Sicilian man give me a haircut and a shave, which was fantastic. And I looked very dapper, if I do say so myself, which I never say so myself, but I did. And then you and I had an incredible night together, just the two of us having fun, having drinks, playing games.
Sure.
It was wonderful.
It was really fun.
So then the next day we got up. Well, why don't you tell? So what happened on Saturday?
Well, I mean, Saturday was fun. I ended up having to go pick up your cake and everything. We did a little bit of errands. And then there's this place, this local place that you've been dying to go. Well, I've been dying to take you to. It's really cool. It's kind of like a speakeasy. So you walk through the doors and it's a laundromat. and it looks just like a laundromat. So people are in there washing their clothes and drying their clothes and doing their whole clothing thing. And then you go through the back doors and there's a whole speakeasy back there full of vintage pinball machines and a full bar, well, a beer and wine bar and everything like that, which was really great.
So, but let's talk about the doors.
Well, the door, you walk through
a washer and dryer.
It's a washer and dryer, which is really cool. Yeah. So you walk through the doors and you get there and it's like a full bar. It's really cool. So we did that. We played games. We had a really good time with that. And then I gave you the first crepe cake you've ever had in your entire life.
It was amazing.
It was really good, right? So, yeah, we did that. And we had a good time. And then we just hung out with friends. And then came back and had a few more drinks. And then just went to bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning, which we're just not going to talk about because we are way too old to be going to be
asleep. Seriously.
It was a mess. But... so that was fun. And then the next day we went and had brunch. And
which brunch lasted until 9:30 at night, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I mean, we didn't stay at brunch the entire time, but we went to brunch. We went and got foot rubs. We went and had a cocktail at another bar. Like, it was a really nice. It was a long birthday weekend for you, and it was a lot of fun.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Was and good. I went to bed so happy every night / morning. Yeah, it was incredible. So it was a great weekend / week for me.
Yeah, it was really cool. And we are definitely tired from it.
Exhausted. But we're here for you, listeners.
Yes, exactly. But again, we are way too old for all of this fun, but it was a good time.
It was.
Awesome. Well, we are going to hop right into our hashtag gay relationship goals for the week. As a reminder, every week, Tony and I are going to highlight a great couple within the community as our hashtag gay relationship goals. Our hope is to bring these relationships to the forefront and give a sense of positivity to the gay relationship narrative. So if you or your partner are interested in becoming our hashtag gay relationship goals, please tag us on some of your great couples' pictures on Instagram, and we will take a look. Our handle is @podrelationshit, and that's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. This week, Tony and I are going to be highlighting a couple that I actually tried to not like. I tried to not like them, but I started doing a little bit more research into them. And I became a huge fan. And the reason why I became a huge fan is because there was this really great article written about him in People. I think it was People.com, but they did like a really cool video about him and they wrote an article about him. And it is the professional wrestler, and his name is Anthony Bowens. Anthony Bowens kind of publicly came out as bisexual. And his boyfriend, his boyfriend's name is Michael Pavano, and what happened, the two of them have a YouTube page, and I guess what happened was they had been dating each other for a little while, kind of in secret.
Oh.
And Michael Pavano actually, like, I won't say outed him, but he kind of, like, forced him to be a little bit more public about their relationship. So once that happened, and, Anthony realized that there were all of these, like, so much support with their relationship. He decided to come out and, you know, told his entire, you know, professional wrestling partner, like, talent, everybody else that's there, his family and everything. And everyone has been nothing but incredibly supportive because of that. And so they have, like I said, they have a YouTube channel, which is really cool. And so I started diving and watching their YouTubes, and they're kind of cute together. They're fun. Very, very nice little couple. I really enjoy them. They're like 27 and 24. Like, they're just really neat. You know, Michael is, I've always had an affinity for like wrestling within itself. I was a huge fan of like WWF. Back when it was the WWF.
Well, and your best friend is a gay wrestler.
One of my closest friends is a gay wrestler and all that stuff like that. So I'm a huge fan of all that within itself. So
I remember when we saw Sparkle Booty wrestle.
Oh, he's going to enjoy that. So that was good. So yeah, it was a really good time. So like I said, the more I like started finding out about them, the more I started becoming fascinated. And then, down the rabbit hole of like all of the cuteness that is the two of them. They really are in love, and anytime anyone is in love with someone else, I'm
big fans.
A huge fan of it. And it just so happens that this gorgeous, loving, lovely couple are in love with one another. So if you guys are interested in learning more about the guys, you can follow them on Instagram. Anthony Bowens is Bowens, B-O-W-E-N-S underscore official. And then his boyfriend, Michael Pavano, is Michael Pavano. That is spelled P-A-V-A-N-O. And you can find them on Instagram. And then again, they have a YouTube channel called Anthony and Michael. So you guys, I'm sorry, Michael and Anthony. And you could check them out there and see all of the cuteness that is their relationship.
And what I love about them is, and it's what I love about anyone we highlight, it's kind of one of our criteria, is they're real people with actual depth. And when they talk about how their worlds collide, they get into like actual experiences, right? So it's not this sort of contrived anything or what you would expect. It's literally, this is where a part of your life hit a part of my life, and this is how I reacted and experienced it. And that's what I love, is that it's real. There's depth. Like, it's your everyday. And it's not, it's unique. And I really appreciate that. I think it's wonderful.
I agree. I think they're a fantastic couple. And like I said, I tried to not like them. And then I started really paying attention to them, and I was like, oh my gosh, they are absolutely adorable, and I'm a huge fan. So please follow the guys, show them some love on social media. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to dive into the meat and potatoes of today's episode.
Hey, y'all. We cannot thank you enough for taking the time to listen to our podcast and for allowing us to be a part of your life. If you love Relationship, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PodRelationship for even more content and information. If you have any relationship questions or topics that you'd like for us to discuss on the podcast, email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com. We will read your questions on the air, share our thoughts, and offer guidance based on our experiences. Please don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher. If you're a fan of the show, leave us a 5-star rating and give us a great review. Your support is much appreciated. On behalf of Marco and myself, I want to sincerely thank you for listening. And now, back to the show.
So, we're back. And one of the things that I was thinking about when we were putting this episode together was, you know how every single year I always have kind of like a theme. I don't right. necessarily always do like a New Year's resolution. But I always kind of do like a life lesson for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, for example, my life lesson is like the ability to follow through, like saying that I'm going to do something and like seeing it to the very end. And then once it gets to the end, if I decide that I don't want to do it anymore, at least I like put forth all the effort into it, right?
Right.
So there was another year where my life lesson was to remove the word hate out of my vocabulary.
Right.
My goal was to not say the word hate, or if I was not a fan of something, I would say that I'm not a fan of it or that I disliked it. But I did not say the word hate, because I think that the word hate is so strong. Powerful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we use it so flippantly. Like,
right.
We use it with everything, right? So, you know, oh, I hate orange juice. But, like, what did the orange do to you? Right? Like, so you don't have to, like, hate it. You can just say, not a fan of orange juice, right? So I say all of that to say that one of the lessons that I had to learn when you and I started dating one another and, like, making a conscious effort to be together and live together and be one within a relationship with one another is I had to learn how to be open-minded.
Mm.
And I think I'm a very open-minded person in general, but living with someone who sees the world differently than you do, or was raised differently than you were, or, you know, just has different views on how things should happen is a very, very challenging thing, right?
Right, like, yeah.
You know, people have a really, really hard time adjusting to each other's intricacies, right? Like the little things that make a person who they are, right?
Well, and it's a completely different skill hanging out with your friends who you like and occasionally butting up against something that sort of rubs you the wrong way versus really liking someone and finding that there's this whole other side to them that, you know, you have to learn about and potentially have to learn to live with.
Absolutely. And so that's why, you know, today's discussion is about, like, colliding, like the collision of two different worlds in an effort to create a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like an understanding of one another so much so that you try to, like, build a life together with one another. And it was hard. It was a very challenging thing for me because, again, you and I come from two very different backgrounds. So the way that we do things, the way that we saw things, the way that things happened for us was, like, very, very challenging. When you met me, first of all, I was 25 years old. So it was, I was young and I was in, like, my heyday with, like, my partying and like, having a good time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the biggest collisions that we had was the fact that I thought it was still normal to go out and have fun with friends and go to the bar
every
and drink.
Every weekend.
And you were not, you were like, you have a boyfriend.
Hello, remember me?
Yeah, you need to, like, chill out and stay home kind of thing. And that was a really difficult collision, right? That was...
Well, it was difficult for you.
I think it was different for both of us. And it was very difficult because you wanted to spend time with me. And I was like, well, if you want to spend time with me, you can spend time with me at the bar.
The problem was I couldn't hear you at the bar.
Yeah, but we hung out at the bar, like, all the time. And you were doing that all the time, too. You were drinking. Don't act like you weren't.
It's not the drinking. No, it's not the drinking at all. No, I did enjoy those $3 Long Islands and that big old mason jar. No, it's not that. It's just I've always had a problem with, like, why would you go somewhere to be with someone and not be able to hear them?
Because sometimes people don't go out to chat. Sometimes people go out to dance or hang out and have fun. So anyways, but that wasn't the point of all of this. But so that was a collision that we had to figure out, right? Like, that was crazy. Another collision that was really challenging is when we had met one another, you were at a point in life where you were trying to recover from debt.
Right.
And so you weren't spending money.
Right.
You were very much so, like, eating literally rice and beans and broccoli every single day. And
yes, well, actually it was chicken and rice and broccoli. It was chicken and beans and broccoli, and then, it was chicken and rice and beans, and then after I got to a certain point of being out of debt, I was splurging and adding broccoli.
Mm. Yeah, so it was weird because I had a decent job, and so I was making good money, and I didn't cook. I was eating out every single day, and I was having a good time. So we had this really interesting collision of, like,
two
different worlds. It was, like, really, really challenging because, you know, I wanted to go out and be out and about. And you were like, no, I got to stay home because I'm trying to get myself out of debt. And that was a difficult collision.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything came to a head when we moved in together.
It sure did.
It was very, very challenging. And, Tony and I kind of have different aesthetics in terms of, like, decorating and living spaces and things like that. And you had moved into the apartment that I was living in downtown St. Petersburg, and you brought with you a whole lot of shit. A whole lot of shit. And that was really challenging for me, and so much so that I got, like, beyond overwhelmed and, like, vanished for a week and a half. I, like, went up and drove up to Georgia.
You sure did.
For a week and a half and just left. It was like, I just got to get out because you just had stuff everywhere and I just could not function. So I left. And that was my whole thing. So that was a huge collision. But that, you know, that is...
That was an implosion.
That was a huge implosion. But that was, like, really challenging within itself, too. And then without all kinds of other things. Just, again, the way that we see the world is always, it's through very different lenses.
Well, and it's so fundamental. Like, I love mornings. You don't.
It's not that I don't love mornings. It's that I don't wake up excited. And you wake up excited. And I'm like, not before my coffee and my shower. Like, give me time, right? So we just do things differently. And and I tend to be a night owl. And you're like, it's 9 o'clock. I need to go to bed. Like,
10 o'clock.
It's when I first met you, it was like 9 o'clock. We agreed on 10 o'clock. You know, so that was different, right? The way that, we, you know, you like bad horror films, and I'm like, I like horror, but I don't want to, like, I'm if it's not a good movie, it's just not a good movie. Like, I'm like, so that was different, right? Like, there was just different ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it became such a problem for us to do that. That is hard. How did you manage?
Well, it wasn't that hard for me. Not as hard as it was for you. I didn't leave the state line. but, I mean, it is tough. It's very tough. The spatial piece alone is challenging. What goes where? What do you get rid of? What don't you get rid of? Do you argue over the fact that you think that thing is really ugly, but it's super important to me? Whose couch are we keeping? What bed? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. But then you get into the emotional piece of it and the just the mental piece. I mean, it's tough. Like, it literally is two worlds colliding, and they are two whole worlds. Mm. The world was whole before you came there, and it has its full scope of things. And, you know, when you think of it in, like, really realistic geographic physics terms, like, when worlds collide, like, tectonic plates make mountains and, you know, create oceans. And, I mean, it's just, like, it's chaos, and it's
But pandemonium. It's kind of strength, though, too, though, right?
It absolutely is. If you can get through, you know, the tectonic plates smashing and creating giant earthquakes and volcanoes erupting and oceans filling. And if you can get past that, you do create a really placid, lovely world.
And we did it for a while, and it worked, right? Things were, like, really good for an extended period of time, and then things... I mean, we're not going to try to sugarcoat anything. Tony and I definitely broke up with one another, like, 3 major times, and did all of that
stuff. But no minor times.
Yeah. But sometimes those collisions definitely, you know, imploded, right? Like, sometimes the world was a little bit crazy.
Yeah, and it wasn't that you and I... Like, when we broke up, it wasn't each time... It wasn't because the worlds colliding was the issue. Like, it wasn't us being able to negotiate the day-to-day or anything. It was, like, really specific situational stuff. And I point that out because I want to say it's not the merging that was the issue for us. It wasn't the how do I live loving to cook with you who does not cook. You know, how do you live with all your constant cleaning with me who, you know, may never wash the bathtub until he moves out.
Yes.
You know?
Everyone's disgusted right now.
Not everyone. There's a cohort of people that agree with me.
That's not true.
whatever. There's soap and stuff in there. It's clean.
No, it's not clean. That's why it's called soap scum. I would disagree because I do think that the collision, there were parts of our worlds that we did not like in one another that became really, really challenging. And it was really, really hard to see that, you know. I would like to think that understanding is something that you've learned over the time period that we've come together. Like, I think full explanation, but... There were some, like, shaking you to the core type things that were going on in our relationship that made it very, very challenging for you to handle things sometimes. There were some bouts of loneliness that, like, I felt at times that made it very, very difficult for us to move forward. So I think that collision, that reality of what it meant to be with one another under certain circumstances was really, really challenging for us for a certain period of time. And that is what caused us to break up a couple of times. and I'm not saying that any of it is wrong. I'm not saying any of it is right either, because it wasn't. But I'm just saying that it kind of takes a little bit of that, like, banging and scraping and hurting for us to have gotten to this place, right? Like, you, all of it is a learning process.
I don't know anyone who has the fairy tale. I don't. I think we are all flawed humans who come together and we do the best that we can. And sometimes all the cogs line up and sometimes they don't quite line up, but you can sort of reshape them and refit them so that they do. And sometimes they don't. So I don't know anyone who met someone, fell in love, smooth sailing across calm seas forever. You know, there's always something, whether it's, you know, finance, whether it's vacations, whether it is personal, you know, your personality stuff, like whatever it is, there's always something. And I think the beauty of relationships is the figuring out how to make them work. The quiet space you have to get in to really understand your partner, and the honest space that you have to get in to understand yourself in relation to your partner.
Sure.
And the work that that takes. And I think that's the actual fairy tale.
Yeah, I think I don't disagree, not one bit. I think that it's a lot. I mean, and I said it. We were young when we first started dating one another.
It's very nice of you to say, because you normally say I've always been old.
Well, you act like an old man. But we were young when we met one another. We were.
I can freely admit I didn't know nothing.
In our mid 20s when we met, so there were just different parts of our lives that were going on. We didn't necessarily have all of the tools to be unselfish human beings at the time either.
I don't know if I possess all those tools to this day.
It's still a work in progress, right? Yeah. So there was just a lot going on with us during that time period. So, I think that there's a lot to be said about just being able to recognize what's happening,
mm-hmm.
and figuring out how to step outside of you for a moment and try to see what the other person is seeing. And you and I had to learn a lot of that during the time period. So
we sure did.
Oh, you know, like when you're arguing about something as minuscule as not cleaning the shower, right? For you, it was, well, I've never done that, so I don't know why I should be doing it. And then for me, it was, but I don't understand why you wouldn't do that. Don't you want to get into a clean shower? And finally, we came to the understanding that it's something that you care about. It's something that I don't necessarily pay attention to. So how can we make it so that you are being satisfied and I'm not in your way, right? And that's essentially what we came up to the conclusion to do, because the trade-off was, I hate grocery shopping. Ooh, and I said hate, but I do not enjoy grocery shopping. It's not my favorite thing, but you love it. You don't mind doing it.
I actually love it. I love going in and figuring out what amazing things we're going to try this week.
Sure. So the trade-off was, you get to do something that you enjoy doing, and I get to scrub your soap scum.
Wait a minute. What it is I do an errand that you don't enjoy, and you do an errand that I don't enjoy, and we both are much happier for it.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That is not what you said. This is one of those tools we're still working on.
No, but it's the trade-off, and then just being able to listen to one another. Stop for a little bit. Listen to one another. Understand.
I think that's the key. Like, there is no blueprint. There is no right way. The problems that you have may be different from the problems that we had. The only thing you can do is, there is a universal tool, and it's communication.
Yeah. Talking is literally the best thing that could possibly happen.
Talking.
Right?
And don't be afraid to talk, because your partner, hopefully, loves you for you. So whatever you are going through, even if they can't relate to it, I mean, there's tons of things that you go through that I can't relate to, and I know there's tons of things that I go through that you have no clue why I go where I go. But I tell you, you do your best to understand. Sometimes we come to a point, I know I've come to this point even just as recently as this week, where I will say, you know, it's not a big negative thing for me, like on a scale, you know, of like -5, 0, +5, like on a scale, like I'm neutral. So the fact that I'm neutral, like, it doesn't hurt me in any way, and it's important to you, like, the math just wins out. Like, it's important to you. Who cares what I think? Yeah. Is it hurting me? No. Does it make you happy? Yeah. Does it make you upset when it doesn't happen? Yeah. Well, then the answer is kind of obvious. Like, why would you fight about that? Like, it just doesn't, that doesn't make sense. Like, I was telling somebody just the other day, I don't, so when I am done, right? So I will wake up very happy and energetic and grateful and enjoy my day. And as long as I keep going, I can keep going. So I can go do stuff early in the morning, and then I can go to my job, and then I can go to the gym, and that's fine. But the minute my shoes come off and my PJs come on, I'm done. And so that means that once dinner is cooked, I don't want to do those dishes. But you really want those dishes done. And this is a silly thing, but it's true. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me if I don't do the dishes tonight and I do them tomorrow morning. I actually like that. It's part of my wake-up ritual. I'll drink my coffee. I'll do the dishes. It's nice for me. But it doesn't matter to me if I have to do them. I just don't care. But you care. It matters to you. It bothers you if they're there. And it makes you happy if they're done. So I will do them.
Yeah, well, and so, I mean, that brings me to a very valid point, because it was a matter of, for me, the house that I grew up in, the kitchen had to be cleaned before you went to bed. Mm-hmm. So that was a matter of habit, more so than anything. That is just the way that I was raised. Mm-hmm. That's just how it was. So for me, it was that collision of understanding how you were raised versus how I was raised, and where we can meet in the middle. So now I'm less tense about the dishes being done. My only request is that you not keep dishes on the counter, which 8.5 years later, y'all, we're still talking about it.
But just on the podcast, because they do it right every time.
That's not true. but that was always my thing. Is like, just put the dishes in the dishwasher. Like, as long as we can do that, then, like, my crazy is not going to go. Or, no, in the dishwasher.
Right,
like,
but the if pots they're not on the counter, pans, or they're in the sink, you're okay.
Well, the pots and pans, you can keep those in the sink. That's not a big deal. But the plates in glasses and stuff like that, you can put them in the dishwasher. That takes 30 seconds. It's not a big deal. That's always our thing. But, like, again, those are different things. And I had to come to terms with understanding how the value you put on certain things, i.e. doing the dishes, may be in a different way than how I put my values. And so we have to come to an understanding. And that is what's important, is it's that collision. Like, just figuring out where our worlds meet in the middle and how to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where the beauty comes, right? That's where life happens, is like being able to agree to disagree or disagree to agree. And figuring it out that way, right?
You got it.
I think it's important. Awesome. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a very special Q&A for y'all.
Hey, folks. It's your favorite host, Tony.
And Marco.
We need a favor. Please stop what you're doing right this very moment and head to your podcast directory and rate and review Relationship.
We know. It's a big ask, but we need your help in getting the word out about the podcast, and your reviews are the best way to make that happen.
So, if you have 2 minutes, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating.
Then, write a review and tell everyone about how much you love our voices.
Or how we're your favorite hosts.
Or that this really important conversation is helping you along the way.
Just a few ideas, in case you get writer's block.
Anyways, we appreciate your help and thank you for the support. Your participation will only make Relationship better.
We're going to get back to the show now, but we love all of you.
Thanks. So, one of our guests today is somebody that I think you all are pretty familiar with at this point. It is my husband, Mr. Tony Critelli. So this week, Tony and I, as a couple who has had to go through the collision of two different worlds, we decided that we were going to interview one another today and learn a little bit more about the battles and or struggles and or enlightenment that we've had to experience by way of colliding our worlds, right? So, Tony, I am going to let you start.
Okay.
By asking some questions. We're going to Q&A this whole thing up, right?
So I think the first question is super easy and very obvious.
Okay.
So, Marco, tell our listeners why you had to literally leave the state for over a week when we moved in together.
Well, I think I said it in the last segment where so we moved in an apartment together. I had an apartment in downtown St. Petersburg, and Tony was moving in with me, and when he moved in with me, there was just a lot. It was just so much stuff. And I had been living by myself for years at this point. Never had I decided that I had made up my mind that I was never going to live with a boyfriend, a partner of any sort. And then you were moving in.
And you are not a minimalist, but you don't have a lot.
No, I'm pretty basic by way of like how I want it. And Tony brought in a lot of stuff, and with the stuff that he was bringing in, it was like tchotchkes, and you know, whenever I have moved in the past, I've always like, I think that's a time to like throw shit away, right? Like you're like, oh, I don't wear this anymore, let me get rid of this. Like, oh, I don't need that anymore, let me get rid of that. And you didn't do that. You just brought everything from one apartment to the next apartment. And so I was...
It fit in a one bedroom and you had a two bedroom. It made sense.
I was standing in the middle of this apartment and I'm just seeing shit on top of shit on top of shit. And I was just overwhelmed and I just had to leave. And so I told you to figure it all out and I left. And I went and drove up to Georgia where my family lives and stayed with them for a little bit and talked to them, had like a heart to heart with them, like got them accustomed to the idea that I was now going to be living with someone that I called my boyfriend, and did that whole thing and did that. And I came back and I was in a good way. You know, during that time period, I needed like a break. Like I needed like time to adjust, and that was exactly what I needed.
Yeah, and it was difficult. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, you talk about colliding. My world at that time and your world at that time were so disparate, and nothing could have exemplified it more than me bringing all my stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a little storage closet downstairs that came with the apartment, and if I recall, it was empty or it had like one thing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I filled it to the top.
Literally,
and the second bedroom. Yeah. And the second bedroom and some other spaces. And I got rid of some stuff. And that was what happened.
Yeah.
So it was very different. It was
a lot.
Yeah. It was overwhelming. And I ask you that question not to poke fun at you or anything like that, but just to say, like, here it is. You know, maybe some people listening are like, oh, wow, 8.5, almost 9 years, nearly 2 years married. Woohoo, go us. but they might be thinking like, oh, this is this great thing. And again, to go back to what was said just a little bit ago, it's not a fairy tale. Like it's not, it was hard. It was so hard for you that you actually had to leave. And again, may I remind you, you left state lines.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just share that because I want people to know, like, that's what happened and we made it through.
We still got to the finish line, right?
We did.
Yeah. So my question to you is, how were the beginning phases of this relationship different for you compared to any other relationship you've been in the past?
So I don't know about the beginning phases, because the wonderful thing that I love about our relationship is I honestly, like, I don't remember a time where we weren't together. Mm. Like, I have my childhood, and that was my childhood, but my adult life, like, I don't remember not being with you. So to say the beginning phases, like I can remember our first time meeting. I can remember that date that we went on, that we had to for our first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember moving in together. You know, there's some things in the beginning that I remember, but as far as like the beginning of our relationship in general and the phases that we went through, you know, that's not how the experience, or at least the memory of the experience, works for me. But I will tell you that the big thing for me is something that was so important for us that we both started using the phrase, and the phrase was so important that we put it in our vows, which is staying in the room. So I have learned from a variety of sources that things can get really hard and really ugly and very violent, and that when you've had your fill, you leave. And that's just what you do. And so I, for a long time, had the tendency to do that either mentally, emotionally, or sometimes even physically. I never left state lines. So that was our big thing, was I had to learn how to stay in the room with you. And that meant sometimes literally just not leaving the room when things were getting rough. But even more than that, it meant being mentally, emotionally present when things got difficult. So I would say that that was probably the greatest hurdle for me. And then the second one, and this is something that you and I have talked to, you know, a lot of our friends about. You know, the first year of our marriage was challenging. And the way that I understand the experience, and I'm still not through it, but the way that I understand the experience is there's this man that I wanted to become for you and for us. And before we were married, I had all the time in the world to do that. There was no rush. We were having a good time. You know, it was what it was. And then, I don't know, but for me, getting married to you, like, all of a sudden, I didn't have all the time in the world to become that man. I needed to hurry up and become that man and, like, concretize it and take steps and things like that. And so that was the other big thing for me, is grappling with that and accepting it, because it was challenging, but also embracing it, rolling with it, and devoting energy to it. That was tough for me.
Yeah. It was tough for both of us.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I guess my next question is it hard sharing a space with a guy with no style?
No, it's not. I think I've told you from the very beginning that one of the things that was very attractive to me about you was your simplicity. That's no shade. I'm not calling you simple or anything like that. But there's like a simplicity to you. There's like a what you see is what you get kind of situation about you that's like really cool. And, you know, truth be told, I can sometimes be a prima donna.
Sometimes?
And, yeah. like, I don't think that I would be okay with being in a relationship with two of me. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And so to
something would break.
So everything would break.
I mean, like a wall or a jaw.
Correct. And so, no, I like that there's a simplicity to you. You are kind of hard-headed and set in your ways, so it kind of makes it very, you're not very movable in things, but I will say that after having been married for, you know, 2 years together for 8.5, you do tend to sway for me.
Mm-hmm. So you I'm learning
will
to.
Learn to do things, and you will check things out, and you will pick out a shirt, and sometimes I think you have fun with it, and you do like to, you know, look nice and wear clothes and what should I wear and those things. And those moments are fun. But at the end of the day, no, I don't need you to, you know, be looking at yourself in the mirror all the time or checking on this or looking at that or caring about what shoes you're wearing. As long as you don't look like
a schlub,
then I'm good. I think it's fine. And then when you do look like a schlub, I tell you, you look like a schlub, go change your clothes and we're all good. So it's fun.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay, so my question to you is, what has being in a relationship and combining two different worlds meant to you?
It has literally meant the world to me. I mean, not to be cliche and not to use the same phrase, but it's been everything. You know, there was a time in my life and someone in my family who shall remain nameless may have pointed this out to you, where it was the end of my relationship when I combined worlds with someone. And that was it. And it was a pattern. It was like, get serious, move in, break up. Like, those were the steps. And so combining worlds with you has been everything for me, because I look around our home, I look at our lives, and I'm like, this is everything I ever thought and more. There's so many things I have that I never knew I always wanted. And it's been incredible. You know, just like I do, there's things you bring into the house and I'm like, oh my God, really? Like, really? Those? Okay, fine, that. and, you know, even today coming home, I'm like, really? Another piece of clothing being delivered to our apartment? Really? All right, okay, fine.
Totally.
But I wouldn't trade one second of it for anything else in the world.
No, that's awesome.
So I want to get a little more serious. So tell our listeners what you need when you first come home to make cohabitating easier for you.
I can tell you what I used to, what I thought I needed, versus now what I need. It's so funny, you know, again, we were young when we first started dating, and for me, I needed, you know, when you live by yourself and you do things by yourself, like you walk into your own apartment and there's no one there and you have the quiet and you have you and your own thing, and then you move in with someone and you're in my face, and I'm reminded of Carrie, and would you see you, what do you know, where you've been, where do you go, like all that whole thing when she moved in with Aiden, and it was just all of that for me. So I was very much so Carrie in that situation where I walked in and I was like, I need an hour of just silence, like just leave me alone for a little bit, let me get myself acclimated, let me, you know, take my clothes off, change, let me, you know, get myself all together, like, let me just do my whole thing. And it was really important for me to have that in the beginning of our relationship.
And at first it was hard for me to give you that.
It was very difficult.
It was hard not to take that personally.
Yeah. And it wasn't about you. It was just about me.
It really had nothing to do with me.
Yeah. It was just different. And so, but as I've gotten married, I mean, it's before we've gotten married, but as we've been established in this relationship for, you know, as long as it's been here, I don't need that anymore. You know, I walk in, we have a dog, we have a cat, and then I have a Tony. So it's like, you know, like I walk in and everyone's in my face and everyone wants to see me and the cat's meowing and the dog's barking and trying to jump and, you know, you want a welcome kiss. And there's just a lot of stuff that goes on. And I want nothing more than that to be my life every single day. And so I've become appreciative of what I get to come home to every single day, and taught myself selflessness. Like, it's not about me. It's about my experiences. It's about what I give to you guys. You guys are excited to see me, so why would I not return the favor? And, you know, everyone in my face is because, you know, I'm missed and loved and cherished, and those things are more important than going into the bedroom, shutting the door, and turning the world off for an hour. The world never stops. It never stops. And so why in the world would I shut myself off from it for a little bit, you know, just to quote unquote give myself something that I needed? You know, it's just juvenile in my opinion. So yeah, that's that. So how did you know that you were ready to see this relationship through? These are heavy questions, by the way.
They ain't light. I've had a lot of sort of grounding, nesting, breakthrough moments with you. I think the biggest one was the one that led to my proposing to you.
Okay.
So you were out of town, and we were talking on the phone, And you talked about how it was about distance, it was about commitment, and how there were times when I was overly okay when you were gone, and you noticed it, and how, I'm trying to remember exactly how you put it, and I'm failing at that, but, you know, essentially you were saying things like, imagine what it feels like being you and thinking that something isn't as important, that the relationship isn't as important, that the deep down commitment isn't as important. And you and I talked for like an hour and a half about that. And I got off the phone with you and it only took me like 5 minutes. And I was like, wow, I really never want him to feel that way, because that's not how I feel. And that's not how I want to express how I feel, is in such a way that he would feel like that. What can I do? And I thought of like a couple of different things and I was like, oh no, I should just marry him. Well, that's what I should do. I should marry him because I do want to. And I don't want him to feel that way. And I didn't do it so you wouldn't feel that way. It was just in knowing that I didn't want you to feel that way, I found the space where all my love for you was. And I wanted us to have that space for the rest of our lives.
Good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Very good answer.
It's the truth. That was my experience of it. And I remember you came home. And so we have this little whiteboard, this little dry erase board. Oh, we're going into this place. And the dry erase board is used for different things. Cute little messages, sayings, goals, you know, whatevers. When Marco goes out of town, because he travels for work, you know, somewhat frequently. When he goes out of town, you know, there's little notes they could put on the board. You know, gosh, I sure missed you. Heart the dog. Oh, what? You were gone? The cat. You know, just silly little things. And so I wrote on the board and asked him to marry me on that board. Because, again, it, like, that conversation really was the thing for me. And you came home and you did not notice the board for such a long time.
Yeah, well, I was trying to come home and change my clothes and get myself together and all this stuff. I just wasn't paying attention to it. And finally, I recognized it. It was nice.
It was. It's been nice ever since.
Yes, it has.
So let me ask a little backwards of a question.
Okay.
So what was the easiest part about moving in together?
The whole thing. I mean, I knew I wanted to live with you. Like, I just knew that I wanted to live with you. I knew I wanted to be with you. You and I, during the beginning dating phases of, like, our lives together, we literally were spending every single night with one another.
It's true.
Every single night with one another. I don't, like, there's 7 days a week. I don't think that we very frequently spent any night apart from one another. It may have been, like, one night a week. But we were so wrapped up in one another that we had clothes at each other's apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, full closets of things to, like, go back and forth and be, you know, if I had
yeah,
to...
Yeah, it wasn't a drawer.
No, it was, like, closets and things like that with one another. So, I like, we had already established the fact that we were with each other, like, and spent time with one another and were, like, up underneath one another all the time. So, moving in with you wasn't a difficult decision. It wasn't hard. I knew it. The whole thing was, like, amazing. And, you know, for me, it was like, oh, great. So now we just get to be together all the time. Like, you know, like, that was easy. Like, that's, now we don't have to worry about whose house we're staying the night at. You know, it was, you know, we're always going to go to bed together with one another under one roof, you and I. Like, and that was really cool. So that was the best part for me, is the fact that it was like, oh, like, this is this is it. Like, this is established. This is fantastic. And it just felt normal and like it was supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't hard. So, I mean, I think you've answered this question before, but so I'm not going to ask that one. But my next question to you is, okay, us relationship circa 2009 versus us relationship now. who is winning the Infinity War?
That's my adorkable husband's attempt to be a comic book geek.
I tried.
If he had actually read the comic books, he would know why that didn't fit.
Whatever.
But you get tons
it's an
of
epic
points.
Battle. That's
it,
all I know.
It is an epic battle, and you get tons of points. Absolutely, tons of points. Who's winning? The same person who was winning in 2009. Both of us. We're both winning.
No. You misunderstood the question. Take our relationship in 2009. The beginning phases of all that versus us right now mm-hmm. in a relationship and where we're at after 8.5 years together and all this other stuff like that. Which relationship is winning? Like a battle against one another. Which one is the winner?
You mean which one would I rather have?
I mean if, like, yeah, sure.
I would rather have this one. Like, I don't want to go back. I've never had a problem with aging. Like, I think it's a normal thing. And so to progress, to gain, you know, I wouldn't want to go back to all the things we didn't know before. Because I know all the things we did because of what we didn't know. And I like that we don't do most of those things anymore. I like where we are. I like what we have and I like what we're getting. I like how we treat each other. I like the depth of this relationship. I like the closeness of this relationship. I even like the fights better now. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's not a fairy tale. There are fights. And I even like those better because there's so much more depth to all of it. And the intensity of the caring and the closeness and the history is where the real beauty is for me. It's one thing to lust after each other and to really like each other but to not really know each other. It's another thing to have built so much. So hands down, the relationship 2018 has the full Infinity Gauntlet.
You want to know what's funny? I like us 2009.
Why?
There was a simplicity back then. There was, everything was exploratory. We were figuring each other out. We were hearts wide open. We were trying to figure out how to impress one another and love one another and enjoy one another. And every moment was special. And I'm not saying that those things don't exist now, but that was like during a time period where like we didn't know how to press each other's buttons and make each other mad, you know? That was during a time period where we were footloose and fancy free and just had a good time. We may not have had all the resources, but we had each other and we figured it out. Like, you know, we made do with what we had. It was just cool. Like, it was just easy, you know? We were fun. We were us, and I think we're still us now. Again, you know, everything is better now, but I look back and I think about, like, I see some of these pictures, like there's pictures of, you know, right here in our apartment right now that I'm like looking at above there, and I look at like 2009 Marco and Tony and I'm like, oh my god, we were baby-faced and happy and, you know, in love and in like. Like, we were just, like, really, and, like, things were just easy and breezy. And we just had, like, such a fun time. And I really enjoyed that. And so, and again, we've built a lot based off of that experience and, you know, that time. And so 2018 for sure is a winning version. But I think 2009 is just so idyllic. Like, it's so pretty. Like, it's just fun and unscathed, you know?
Interesting. I can see that. Yeah. I can definitely see that. It does not change my answer.
Oh, no. I don't expect it to. I literally just argued both of them because I think both of them are fantastic. But I just think about 2009 and I'm like, we were cute. Like, we were, like, funny.
And you're still cute.
Well, duh. But...
Oh! Damn!
That was a joke. but no, we were having a good time. You know, we were fun. Like, it was easy. So
there it is.
Your question.
So if we got a check in the mail for millions of dollars and could afford to live separately, would you? And before you answer that, if the answer is yes, go play the fucking lottery, you bitch.
Nah.
And if no, why not?
If I got $1 million...
Millions. This is New York. $1 million ain't gonna take you very far.
Dollars to live separately from you, would I? No. But it's for the same reason that, like...
But don't you think that would help support taking you back to 2009?
No. No.
Why not?
Well, it's for the same reason that I, like, if I won the lottery, I wouldn't quit my job either. One, because I love my job. I love you. And that money would be cool. And having all of that is, like, absolutely incredible. But I want the experiences with you. And money is not going to make that better. Like, do you say, like I'll be fine. Like, I want to be rich in love and support and caring with one another. I don't need to be financially rich and by myself.
Mm.
Like, that's not okay. Like, I don't need that. That's not anything. And that's not to say that I'm dependent upon you or that I'm incapable of being an independent man. Like, that's not what it's about. But, like, no, I don't need that. And again, it's the same reason why I wouldn't quit my job. Like, I would need to take, like, a vacation. Like, I'd be like, I'm going to take a month off and here's $10,000 to make that okay. like, I would, like, totally do that. But then I would come right back and just be the millionaire that works in the building and ask one. Like, that's, I don't need that. It's the same way that I would feel about you. Like, I'd probably be like, eh, like, so I'm going to follow Beyonce on tour for a little bit. And so, like, you could, like, chill out at home, for, you know, while I do, you know, while I'm gone for 5 weeks. But I'm coming back to you, like, and if that money is not a part of the equation, then I'm okay with it. That's fine. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll just buy tickets to one of our concerts. Like, oh no, you know, like, it's not a big deal. Like, but no, I don't need that.
Good to know.
Yeah. So my last question to you, what guidance would you give to the relationship newlyweds out there right now?
The ones who are just colliding, correct, or the ones who are literally newlywed?
No. Like, the ones that are just starting to collide. They are 5 weeks into, quote-unquote, talking to one another, and so they're finally locking it down and trying to, like, be each other's bae. I don't know. Do people still say that?
I don't know that they ever did. But that's me being old. Know yourself first. Know yourself. You know, not to quote RuPaul again, but if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Can I get an amen?
Amen. But that's the truth. That really is the truth of the universe and how it works. Know yourself. So do that. And then be yourself. So be honest with each other. Again, like I was saying earlier, like, take that risk of actually answering the question or actually being honest. Say that you need an hour to be left alone. Say that you no longer need that hour. Mm. Be vulnerable in both those ways. And then enjoy being with your partner. There's a reason you seek other people. There's a reason we want ships, friendships, relationships, whatever. There's a reason we want those things. It makes life better. It just does. You aren't lonely and alone without it, but it does make life better when it's good. So be okay with letting go and having that, taking risks, enjoying things, trying new things, figuring out what you like, figuring out what he or she likes that you didn't know about, figuring out what new things you'll like together. Invest, communicate, and exist. That's it. What would you say?
I literally, the last things that you just said, I think the best thing that you could do for yourself and for a partner that you're with is learning the art of being open-minded. And it's really, really, really challenging for us as people. And I think we all like to think that we're not judgmental or that we don't have hang-ups on things. And that's a crock of shit. We are all judgmental. And when someone does things in a different way than we do, we tend to tense up and have issues with it and have this like inner monologue about how, or dialogue about how they're ridiculous for wanting to do that and why would they do that. And I think that that is the silliest thing that you could ever do in life. If there is one thing, and I don't live in regret or I don't try to, you know, reflect on things, but if there's one thing that I wish I could have done earlier in the beginning of our relationship, it was accept you for who you were early on. So then that way we would have been able to enjoy a lot more back then, because we would have just been trying to live in each other's worlds. And I think that that would have been a lot cooler instead of trying to figure it out and question it and wonder about it and be angry about it and don't know why this is happening and all those things. Like, I just wish that we would have skipped over all of that and you know, learned to like one another and enjoy one another way before then. So I would just say open-mindedness. You'd be surprised at what you would learn about somebody if you got over yourself.
It's true. Well, Mr. Critelli, on behalf of my husband and I really want to thank you for being here and being a part of this interview.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it.
So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to answer some of your emails.
If you live in the New York City area and you're looking for more relationship content, join us for our monthly group meeting where we and like-minded couples and singles within the community will discuss relationship topics related to the podcast. Go to meetup.com and search for relationship and join. That's shit with an exclamation point instead of an I. Monthly meeting dates and various social activities will be posted on the group page, where you will have the opportunity to be a part of a larger dialogue surrounding many important relationship topics and get the opportunity to connect and have fun with others within the community. Again, go to meetup.com and search for relationship to join. We look forward to seeing you at our next meeting.
All right, folks, now it's time for our listener situations.
That's right. Send your relationship questions or comments to relationshitquestions@gmail.com. Tony and I will read your emails here on the show and do our very best to give you guys some guidance.
So our first email, the subject is just help in bold. This ought to be interesting. I am a gay male living in the Pacific Northwest, and I have been with my boyfriend for 2 years. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. I love him very much. I really do. We live together, we make each other laugh, and I am genuinely happy with him and with being in a relationship with him. I'm sensing a butt.
A big butt.
I'm just confused, because even though I love him, I still find myself looking at other guys. Not necessarily in a sexual way, but if a hot guy walks by, I can't help but to check him out. I have not cheated and don't think that I actually ever would, but if the attraction was ever reciprocated, I'm not sure that I would be able to walk away. I feel like I am mentally cheating on my boyfriend. Is this normal to be in a relationship and still be attracted to others? Am I a bad person for feeling this way? I'd really appreciate the insight. Thank you for the help. So this, I know your answer already, or at least some of it.
Okay.
This is a topic you and I disagree on, because I understand why this person would feel bad for being attracted to someone else. And I get it. I don't know that you're mentally cheating. And I think it's great that you say, I'm not sure you'd be able, that you would be able to walk away. I think that's wonderful and honest. I wonder, first, are you dating someone where you could say that to them and have a conversation and say, I really care about you, so it bothers me that this is what I'm experiencing. And could this potentially bring you closer by doing that? You're not a bad person for feeling this way. I would say you wouldn't even be a bad person if you cheated. You would be someone who wasn't getting something they wanted and they needed to look at that. I'm not condoning cheating. I'm just saying that doesn't make you a bad person. But something's going on. And if it's just simple attraction, that's is what it is.
Well, I think that's my whole thing with it, though, is I think that there's a difference between finding someone attractive and then being attracted to someone, right? There's a huge difference between that. Look, we're not walking around here completely oblivious to the fact that there are other attractive people in the world, right? There are other attractive people in the world. It's just a fact, right? So recognizing that someone is attractive is one thing. But being attracted to someone so much so that you are, I don't know, like looking them up and down, or, you know, the thirst is at an all-time high, or like you're undressing them with your eyes, or you're doing things that are disrespectful to your relationship, is a completely different thing. I think that there's nothing wrong with finding someone else attractive. I think it's normal. Because there are attractive people out there. But being attracted to other people, again, like, are you following people that you find? Are you going up and talking to them with the intention of, like, flirting or potentially, like, having them come around? Like, those are very different things. And I would be very, I would be cognizant of that and figure out what that is looking like.
And that's why these are our opinions and guidance, because even in this situation, like, we don't agree per se. So there is no right or wrong answer. But I mean, I know for me, and this is something I've always told you, there are two people in the world. There's my husband and there's everyone else. And that's just true for me. That's just, that is what it is. So I can't say that it's fine to find someone attractive and to, or to recognize that they're good looking or anything like that. Like, I don't know. I would say maybe you can spend more time figuring out how to be more attracted to your partner.
Well, I think there's definitely a conversation that needs to be had. Like, I don't disagree there. Like, I think that that is something that you need to talk to. Because your boyfriend may be like, oh my God, you're being so silly. Like, you know, it's not a big deal. Like, you know, like, whatever. Like, you're feeling bad about something that, like, I'm not even tripping out about. Like, you just never know. So I think a conversation is 100% necessary. But, you know, I don't know that it's worth beating yourself up about right now.
Well, that for sure.
Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that you need to take it that route. I think that it's just a small, like, you just need to dissect it a little bit, figure out where you're at, and then go from there.
I agree. And just to clarify, I'm not, and I hope I don't come across as being judgmental, I'm just expressing my experience. Okay. I just had a huge fight with my boyfriend. I've never really had a fight with someone I am dating before, but I recognize that that might be because I don't date the same guy for very long. I really like him, and I want to get through this, but I've never had to deal with something like this before. Please help. Well, that's challenging. I mean, you're talking about building skills that you have never built before. You're talking about exercising a muscle that has atrophied or is in its infancy. So you have to be patient with yourself in that regard, because you're learning how to do something new. At the same time, you need to share that with your partner. And, you know, the fact that you are concerned about what happened and willing to work on it with the person speaks volumes. So I wouldn't get so worked up about what you haven't done before. And I would say just create a safe, calm space. Do whatever you have to do to calm yourself first, and then help create that for the person that you're dating. And just talk about what happened. And then really listen and try to garner some wisdom from this experience so that you don't completely repeat it again, and so that you learn some things that you can apply to different situations.
I think that's interesting. Not everyone in the world is going to agree with you all of the time, so I find it kind of difficult to understand that, like, from the way I heard the letter is that you don't like being disagreed with, so you're having a hard time moving forward because you just disagreed with somebody, and this is the point where normally if there's a disagreement, you just leave. And that's kind of challenging for me. People are going to disagree with you all the time. Your cab driver is going to disagree which way to turn to get to the next destination, right? So I feel like you just need to come to the realization that this is normal. People are not always going to agree with one another 100% of the time. And that is not a testament to who you are as a person or who they are as a person. It just has it's just a difference of opinion. So be a mature human being and have a conversation about what is going on with one another, and why you feel the way that you do and why they feel the way that they do, and then meet in the middle somewhere. That's all that needs to happen. You know, again, and I may be projecting, or maybe I'm, you know, misreading or being a bitch, which, you know, I can accept that. But I just think that the letter reads a little bit like, again, I mean, clearly you have a pattern of when the going gets tough,
You get going.
So that is a thing. And I think that we need to pay attention to that. So, you know, what is your end goal? Is this someone that you want to be with? If it's not someone you want to be with, then I think you have your answer. Go away. But if it is someone that you want to be with and you actually do want to see it through, then I think you've got some work cut out for you. And it's going to take a mature person who recognizes it and wants something to change to make that happen.
Agreed. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Looking for your next favorite podcast? One that will teach you how to make millions with Bitcoin, help you lose those extra stubborn pounds, or make your spine tingle with a murder mystery? Stop searching and let Podable do the work. Podable is the only podcast player that learns what you love and recommends podcasts just for you. Import your favorites automatically and instantly discover new ones. Find your next favorite podcast today by visiting us at podable.co or download our app in the iOS App Store. That's Podable, P-O-D-I-B-L-E, and discover your story.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode.
Thanks again for tuning in and being a part of this really important conversation.
Remember to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Pod Relationship. And don't forget to subscribe and rate us and tell your friends.
You also can email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments that you'd like for us to address on the show.
And if you're in the New York City area, please don't forget to join our meetup group on meetup.com for more relationship content and activities.
Tony and I will be back next week to harass your ears.
And remember, don't be a chicken shit.